Hi there, and welcome to Church of Philadelphia's podcast. We're a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen. This morning, as we're talking about pursuit, going after God, let's do this, Mike. We're going to go right to Romans chapter 13. I know I said something else, but let's do this. Flow with me just a little bit. Amen. And we're going to read this scripture and then we'll dive into everything else. Amen. Amen. So, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. 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 This morning, what we're going to be talking about is break the snooze button. Break the snooze button. Break the snooze button. You ought to tell somebody, break the snooze button. Y'all know that button that's on the alarm, that button that's on our phones, the way we can get the extra 5 minutes, that extra 10 minutes, that extra kind of push off the alarm. Amen. 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 So we're going to be talking about breaking this snooze button this morning. Amen. As we go after God. Definitely hard to go after him when you sleep. You know, and we're going to be talking about sleep just a little bit today. Amen. 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 So I want to go to our foundation scripture and let's go to 1 Samuel 13 and 14. And this is pretty much where we are basing this particular sermon series out of, just talking about how God, you know, went after, well, how David went after God. And because of that, he was chosen, you know, from God, by God, to be the one that would take over for a king that was rebellious, that did not do what God has said, did not complete the things that God had told him to complete. So this is where we're getting this pursuit from. Amen. So let's read this scripture. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. He's speaking to Saul. This is first Samuel, the prophet, speaking to Saul, you know, the king, the first king of Israel, and pretty much just telling him, you know, your reign is over, you know, and the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people because that has not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And pretty much, you know, we know as later on, he is referring to David. You know, we know that Samuel doesn't really know in this particular instance who he is referring to, but we know because of the scriptures that he is referring to David, a man after God's own heart. So with this pursuit is talking about us going after God, being going after God's heart, his desires, his wanting to please him, wanting to bring God pleasure, wanting to go after not just the things of God, but God himself. You know, when you go after someone's heart, you really want their affection to be pointed towards you, right? It's almost like he wanted God to like him, wanted God to love him, wanted to be close to him. You know, this was a man that had this lifestyle that because he went after God in such a manner that it set him aside. And we know, you know, that David has talked about all throughout the scriptures. And once he's introduced, he is such a template for, you know, worship, truth, praise, you know, just, you know, the prophetic, all of it, music, everything is he brought so much. And it is because of this pursuit, you know, on the backside of the desert, you know, watching sheep and stuff like that. This pursuit after God birthed so much out of him, even through his mistakes, even through the things that he did wrong, through his failures, through things, you know, him messing up stuff, you know, through murder, through, I mean, just conspiracy, through life, you know, his family being, you know, being falling apart. You see him go through so many different things, but one thing that kept him grounded, kept him moving, kept him going and being able to move through very crazy situations, adverse situations, was that his heart was towards God, that his heart was to please him. you know, even when it was difficult, you know, that his heart was not, you know, not to go away or run away from him or to quit or to back up, you know, but his heart was after God. Amen. So that's our foundational scripture. So this morning, you know, as we go over to Romans, and I want to talk about, you know, let's go ahead and go. What is pursuit? Right. As we talk about pursuit or pursuing God, going after God, pursuit is the act of pursuing in an effort to overtake or capture. Now, we know, of course, we cannot overtake God. Right. We're pursuing God so we can really can be the one that's overtaken. Right. We can be the one that's captured in a sense, you know, that our life is captured. Our hearts are captured. Our desires are captured. You know, so in us pursuing, he comes after us, as we see even in our foundational scripture, that in that scripture, because he was a man after God's own heart, Samuel said, God has sought after, meaning now God is seeking him because of how David sought him. God is now seeking him to be captain over his people. So we know this is the act, meaning it is an action. I cannot pursue something by staying in the same place or having the same type of mindset or having the same type of being able to, you know, going after something. I can't pursue something staying the same, having the same position or having the same posture or attitude. When I'm pursuing something, that means I'm leaving one spot going to another. You know, I'm leaving one thing. I'm leaving one mindset going to another. I'm moving towards that which I want, what I desire, what I'm looking to capture, looking to overtake. And the second definition is a diversion that occupies one's time and thoughts. A diversion that occupies one's time and thoughts. So, you know, we know if we're pursuing God, and this is where we have to be really, really honest. Just know that, because sometimes after you've been around the things of God, maybe you've been around church for leaving just a little while. Maybe you're just now getting back into church. I don't know. Now, maybe you're familiar with church or familiar with the things of God. Or maybe you had a relationship with him. Now you're renewing that relationship with him. You know, that these are things that now, you have to be honest. What is it that you consume? What consumes our time, our thoughts, our emotions? What do we pursue? When we look at this, it's a diversion. Now, when we're talking about pursuing God, it's not a diversion or a distraction in a negative way, but it is the thing that really, you know, really kind of give us that foundation to handle everything else that he kind of helps us to be diverted from. Right. He is that God that gives us that rest, that peace, that, you know, being able to be grounded in him, you know, to be rooted in him, to be established in him. So now the life that I'm living, I cannot be so diverted or that distracted by all the things that do still require some of my time. It requires some of my thoughts. It requires some of the things that I need, you know, some of my energy. Right. So, you know, how do I pursue God? I must pursue God in all of these things in my life. I must pursue, just like David, I'm looking to be a man after God's or a woman after God's own heart as I go to work, as I raise my children, as I'm, you know, in a marriage, as I'm living a single lifestyle, as I'm, you know, building a career, as I'm going to school, as I'm growing up as a teenager, as an adolescent. Maybe I'm 5 or 6 years old this morning. Maybe you're that young, but you still can be that child that's after God's own heart. That now how I please God is how I listen to my parents and how I listen to, you know, those are the things. That's how we incorporate and pursue God in everything that we do. Amen. Because sometimes the religious mind says, well, if I'm pursuing God, that means I have to detach from everything else. And I'm not saying that there are times that where that has to be. You have to kind of detach from everything else. There has to be some quiet time, some devotional time. There has to be some sabbatical time. There has to be some time where you can really, really, really connect and you can give your full attention. But God know he has given us a life. Right. And that life consists of a lot of different things because of the things that he's given us to do and some of the blessings and some of the things that the challenges and some of the work that he's given us to do, because God gives us work. Right. He gave Adam work. you know, his days where he worked. We see God when he did creation, when he created creation, he worked for 6 days, then he rested on the seventh day. So he's not a God that's saying, okay, well, you really gonna come after me, then you need to stop working. No, it's really kind of the opposite. Coming after him is work, you know, going after him is work, and pursuing him in all things is a work of the soul. It's a work of the flesh. It's a work of our spirit to say, I am working towards pleasing him in all things. I'm working towards that. Amen. You know, so this is why we're going to see this morning why sleep is not good, right? Why the snooze button is not good. So let's go back to Romans chapter 13. We got a little ways to go. Amen. Amen. And verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. So look at this. This is, you know, looking at us and kind of letting us know that we've been asleep. That's what God wants us to know. Some of us, we've been asleep. And God has been sounding the alarm, right? He's been sounding the alarm, but we have been hitting that snooze button, right? That button that says, give me some more time, God. That button that says, I'm not ready to kind of deal with that right now. I want to stay asleep, you know, towards that issue that you're bringing to me. I don't want to deal with those things that you're showing me. You know, as I go after God, God has you to deal with stuff. He starts to deal with your life, deal with your heart, deal with the things that maybe sometimes you have tried to ignore, tried to not have to deal with. Amen.
Excuse me.
So we have to make sure that we don't keep on hitting the snooze button. This morning, I want us to break that button and hear the alarm. Let that alarm irritate you. Let that alarm shake you out of your sleep. Let that alarm get on your nerves. Let that alarm get louder and louder and louder. You know, on my phone, I got an option so I can make the alarm get louder so it crescendos. So even if I don't hear it right at first, it'll keep on getting louder until I cut it off, right? You know, but I still got the option too to hit that snooze button for 5 or 10 minutes too. And there's been times where I slide that snooze, that little snooze icon or whatever you want to call it on the phone to just kind of push it, you know. So just give me 5 more minutes, God. Just give me a little bit more time. I'm not ready to get up. But the thing is, when it's time to get up, why? It is time for us to go after God. It's time for you to go after God. It's time for you to pursue God. It's not time for you just to hear this message, to go through this sermon series, just to listen to it. No, it's time to make some changes, some adjustments. It is time, knowing the time that now it is high time. You know, this high time means it is a seasonal time that comes around, you know, every season, kind of like a, you know, winter, summer, fall, you know, and spring, you know, these seasonal times that come around, right? You know, we understand that even during this time, this is a time, really, if we talk about Hebraically, this is a time of repentance. This is a time of preparation to get ready for the atoning of the sins of a nation. You know, this is the time because this is right before, you know, we've already done Rosh Hashanah, you know, the different things that you kind of walk through during, because this is like the new year for the Hebrews, the Hebraic calendar. We're entering into that new space, you know, where we're starting out, you know, the year with a repentant heart, you know, really reflecting on the things that we need to change, things that we need to turn, things that we need to kind of turn away from and turn to God. So it is time. It's time. It's high time. It's a seasonal time. This is a time where, you know, things are starting to get colder. You know, the seasons are starting to change. And it should be a time when seasons change, when seasons change in your life. For some of you, you may be in that place where your life is now changing. Things are changing in your life. Seasons are changing. Things you're looking to do. You know things are coming up. So it is high time that you do what? Awake out of sleep. You ought to look at somebody and say, wake up, Wake up. This is something I tell my sons quite often. Wake up. Because sometimes someone could be telling you something and then you don't hear them until it's too late. They're sounding the alarm in your life because I understand it because I've lived it. I'm trying not to live it no more. I'm trying my best not to live it anymore. Amen. I've heard the warnings and didn't heed the warning. I had somebody give me from apostle to Pastor Lincoln to, you know, even just, you know, even sometimes my children, you know, and they may tell me, you know, Dad, you need to do this so and so, you know, maybe you should. And you know, maybe I didn't listen, or my wife, I didn't listen. And because I did not listen to the alarm, I wasn't awake to be able to hear the trouble. I wasn't awake to be able to hear, you know, what I couldn't see. I was too groggy. I was asleep to the danger that was really right there. I was asleep to the consequences that I desperately didn't want, but I was headed towards. We're not talking about a sleep to where you just laying down. Come on, let's look at the whole definition for sleep. Definition for sleep. Sleep is a spiritual stupor. This is the first part of the definition. Spiritual stupor, meaning I know spiritual things, but I'm not really awake enough to know when things are actually happening. I am spiritual, but I'm dull. I'm not sharp anymore. I'm asleep. So I don't want to have, you know, that going after God and pursuing and, you know, I just kind of want to be comfortable where I'm at. And if it's not something that's going to drastically change me or drastically affect my life today or tomorrow, then I really don't want to do it. But because we understand spiritual things, many times God sounds the alarm years before something happens, years before it gets bad, years before the relationship really, really turned downhill. He gives us signs. The alarm is going off, but we keep on hitting the snooze button. It's going to get better. Well, they apologize. I can keep on dealing with this. I don't want to have to deal with myself. No, I don't really want to have to, you know, deal with my flesh. I don't want to have to discipline, you know, what, my lust. I don't want to have to discipline my eyes. I don't want to have to discipline my attitude. I don't want to have to discipline, you know, my pride. I don't want to have to humble myself. Not right now. Like, you know, I'm working on it, but I'm not really, really working on it because I don't really want to be put under too much pressure. When God sounds the alarm, a lot of times we go into a stupor, or because we are already in a stupor, meaning we're walking around dull, our senses are dull, we don't know what's going on, we can't really connect with reality. Not the reality of what you're doing naturally, but the reality of what I'm doing on a daily basis, how it's adding up in my life spiritually. For most of us, I'm going to say, even down to myself, you know what, man, I need to pray more. I need to, you know, get into my word more. I need to do this more. I need to do that more. So what's stopping me? What's stopping you? We know we want to grow. We want to, you know, we know God has called us somewhere higher, but do we think the calling is some type of compliment? Do we think it's something that, oh, well, it's just optional? Oh, it's just not really needed right now. It's not something that's desperately needed in the world or for my family or for my own future, for my own salvation. It's just something that's really optional. I don't really have to do it. It's not something, you know, I don't want to have to put that much pressure on myself. You know, I'm kind of okay. And because many of us are walking in the blessings of God, there is a stupor that we're dealing with. There's a comfortability he has promised. And some of that comfortability has come, and God has, you know, he keeps on, you know, increasing, but he's doing it for his purposes to be fulfilled. He's doing it because he's good. He's doing it because he, you know, he understands he cannot lie. That's why he's doing it. But we have to make sure that we don't become dull in the process, that we don't get comfortable, that we don't begin to do what the second part of this, yield to sloth, laziness, and sin. that we yield to it, meaning it's around all the time. That's what that snooze button really is doing. I don't have to get up right now. I'm tired. I don't want to have to, you know, break my flesh like that. You ever wonder how someone goes to the military and they put the body through all of these strenuous things and these people are still okay? I'm just talking about basic training. You ever wonder a person can train and train and train the body and push it to different limits, go without sleep, do these different things and still learn the body can begin to, you can sharpen the mind and force the mind to go through and still respond even when your body is telling you no. For some of us, we yield to sloth because our body is in control of us. We are being led by our belly, how I feel, what's going on in my body, the limitations of my body. And it's difficult, you know, I'm really talking about if you're healthy, you know what I'm saying? That's why if you're fighting something in your body, we understand that you're fighting, there's a deficiency, there's things that are really coming against your system and stuff like that. That's why they don't really let people in the military if they got certain conditions, amen? That's what I'm talking. So, you know, if you really, you know, hey, you're fighting through some things and, you know, it's gonna have an effect. You know, you can't say, oh, I got the flu, and then you just operate the same way you was operating before. That doesn't, you know, I'm just giving you an example, right? It doesn't work that way. But if you are healthy, and really it's just, I have to make that decision to get up. I have to make that decision to go ahead and do this. I have to make that decision that I'm going to complete this. I have to make that decision that I'm going to change this. I have to make that decision that I'm going to actually, you know, complete this, finish this, do this, discipline myself, maybe shave an hour off and put an hour on something that I really need to work on. I have to make that decision so I don't operate in sin, so I don't fall in sin, so I don't become indifferent to my salvation. Last part of this definition. So I don't come indifferent. Let me ask you, can you be honest this morning? As we're talking about pursuing God, we understand our salvation is connected to this. Are we indifferent? Let me show you what this looked like. Just like what we just talked about. I know I need to. I know it's important to do, but I'm not doing it. And I'm not too disturbed. I'm only disturbed every now and then. I am floating between being in a stupor. I am floating between waking up. It's that place, you know, kind of like when you kind of awake, but you still sleep. That's where I'm at. That's a place of indifference. I'm really not ready to totally do the things that it takes to be up, but I know I don't totally need to be asleep. So, you know, I'll hit the snooze button, because everybody that hit the snooze button don't go back to sleep. Some of us just lay there. I'm just laying down. I just want to rest my eyes just a little while longer. I don't want to have to just move right now. Meaning, and that's that same place. I know I need to do this, but I won't do it. I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent about my decision to get up and tackle my day at that particular time. I'm indifferent. It doesn't really matter about these 5 or 10 minutes because time is not that important to me. It's not that urgent for me. I don't think I have limited time to do certain things. I feel like, well, if I'm late, then I'm late. It's okay that I'm late. You know, things are going to be okay that I'm late. You know, people are going to be all right that I'm late. It's all right if I mismanage my time. I'm indifferent. It's not something that, okay, you know what, I need to get this done and get it done the right way. You know, I marvel at people sometimes when they say, you know, if you show up on time, you're late. I said, Lord, help me. You know, because sometimes I'm right on time. And sometimes I'm a little late, you know. But sometimes, you know, I might show up a little early. But they say if you're early, then you're on time. These are people who say, you know, I need to respect other people's time and respect mine. Because time is one thing that I can spend that I cannot get back. So we have to be what? On time. And you have to have some urgency about your salvation. Do I have time to waste? Do I have time to be asleep? Do I have time to not be sharp? Do I have time? Do I really have the time? Come on, let's go to Romans. Go back to Romans, and then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 said, and that knowing the time, I know, but now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Every day, your salvation is nearer. Even if we just take out the whole, all the events that's going on in the world, if you're saved today, the next day you get up, your salvation is closer than it was the day before. We're talking about, and let's go ahead and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. We're talking about Paul had this mindset to prepare a people for Jesus to come back. He had his mindset to prepare a people to meet their Lord. He had a mindset not just to be blessed, not just to be empowered, and not just to be have authority, and not just to, you know, these things that we really, really talk about in the church. No, he was preparing a people not to go to hell and to meet their maker. To live a life that God would be ready, and when Jesus came back, that they would go with him. This is what he wanted them to be prepared for. He wanted them to be prepared for that. And when you read throughout the scriptures, he wasn't really referring a lot to a lot of the material things and accomplishments that we kind of really focus on, that at times that we are pursuing, that is a diversion away from the things of God, because we don't know how to incorporate both or let God be the Lord over what we are pursuing. For many of us, God, our time is our time, and we give God his time. Like he didn't give us all the time and he don't own it all. What is that to give? We give, but why are we giving it to him? Because it was his in the first place. Just the same way we give him finances. We give our resources. We're not giving something because he's in deficiency. We're not giving something because he does not have it, or he cannot get it or produce it. We're giving it because it is a sign of what we are pursuing. I'm pursuing you with my time. I'm pursuing you with my heart. When my boss make me upset, how I respond, how I deal with my boss. I pursue you. I pursue God to please God in everything that I do. Amen? Break the snooze button. Come on, tell somebody to break the snooze button. So in verse 5, so ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So look at this. He said, look, now he's talking to the Thessalonians. And he's telling them, look, you're all the children of the day. You're children of the light. You're not of the night and you're not of darkness. Meaning you're not of those that operate when in time, because this is something you kind of see in Paul's writings, where he's kind of really talking about times of work and times of rest, times of enlightenment, or times of where you have spiritual knowledge and times where you are spiritually ignorant, times of where you have knowledge of the truth and times of where you are in deceit, you know, times of where, you know, where you're in righteousness and times of where you're in sin. This is the comparison of what he's really giving to us. Night was a time of when work stopped. Because then back in those days, they didn't have, you know, they weren't working by 24/7 now. You know, that's why it's almost a little difficult. You know, we got first, third shift, second shift, you know, folks got the fourth shift. You know, I mean, it's people want to work you now. You know, this is where we at now, you know. So back then, you know, there wasn't, like I said, wasn't no street lights. It wasn't, you know, it was the conditions of work was really during the day. So he's saying, look, while you know what to do, do it. Because you're a child of the light, don't wait until it's nighttime to try to do something. Don't wait until it's too late when you don't have enough time. Because you are a child of the light, when you know it, then don't begin to operate in darkness or ignorance or acting like you don't know just so you don't have to do. Don't be a child of the night. And I'm not talking about those that may stay up in the night, those that may, you know, not saying you in sin, maybe you just up. You know, you just one of those people that kind of just work at night, you kind of nocturnal, you know, and you know how to operate now in your schedule, you know, amen. I'm not talking about that you're that kind of, you know, you're a bad person. What we're talking about is, if you're a child of the light, walk in that light that you know. Meaning, if I know I need to do something, why am I so indifferent in doing it? Why am I so indifferent in trying to do stuff when it's time to do? I just want to put it off. I'm just keep on putting it off. I'm going to just put it off. We are bad at procrastinating. And procrastination is the seed of rebellion. Man, it plants the seed for us to disobey. It turns into disobedience. It turns into, oh man, I never did do that. You know how many times I've said that right now? I mean, still to this day, there's places in my life where I'm like, God, I keep on putting this off, putting it off to tomorrow, putting it off to the next day. I can't sing because there's no real urgency. Because why do I put it off? Because I feel like I have time. I don't feel like I'm running out of time. Let's be honest. And the more comfortable you get, the less you start thinking you're running out of time. You know, I was listening to a guy. I don't know the guy's name. He's a physicist. Don't believe in God, nothing like that. And he said, you know, they asked him, would you want to live forever? Now, we know we're going to live forever, right? You know, where you live forever, that's the real question, right? But, you know, in this just natural world, where, you know, do you want to live forever? The guy was like, no, I wouldn't want to live forever because the fact that there is an end is what gives me a sense of urgency to accomplish that. I have a timetable to accomplish certain things before I die. If I'm going to live forever, then I'm always going to think I have the next day to do. And I started thinking about this thing and started thinking about my mindset. I know I'm not going to live forever in the sense of being this earth forever, right? So if I'm not going to be in this earth forever, why do I feel like I have a lot of time to get things done, a lot of time to manifest the glory of God in my life? Why do I feel like I have time? And I'm not saying this so we can go and get in a rush. What I'm saying is wake up. So you can begin to even discern and see what do you need to do right now and accomplish to get to the next step. It's not so you can get a whole list of stuff to do and say, okay, now I'm going to try to tackle all of this tomorrow. No. That's not wise. No, this is, okay, God, what do you have me to do? Let me wake up to the things that are urgent right now and begin to tackle them the way that I need to tackle them and begin to pursue you, pursue your purpose, pursue the things that you're telling me to do, to take care of the things that you've given me. So what does light mean? Light means truth and it's knowledge together with spiritual purity associated with it. Amen. It is the power of understanding and especially moral and spiritual truth. So the power of understanding. So truth is the, light is the truth, meaning it is the enlightenment of truth and its knowledge. So meaning truth and knowledge can be two separate things, because truth, we know from one of our pastors shared with us, is truth is the man, Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of who Jesus is. But we understand that there is a speaking of truth and there's truth that we share about ourselves. There are different truths in a sense. I'm not talking about truth. Okay, I'm talking about the different truth that we share about ourselves, you know, but there's only one true truth, and that is Jesus, you know, God, who he is. Amen. And the knowledge of him together with the spiritual purity. Now I can walk in the light. Now, many of us do not want to pursue, because that brings us to the light. I want to talk to you this morning. If you're hiding, you're hitting the snooze button because I want to avoid life. I want to avoid the responsibilities of life. I want to avoid the probability of having to, or maybe even failing, or not owning up to what I have done or have not done. I don't want to get up and face the work that I have to do and the things that are going to be required of me and the things that are going to be pulled from me and the things that are going to be asked from me, that I know this is the way that God has structured my life right now. And there's some things that I just really don't like. So to pursue God is to expose myself more to the light of who he is and the light of who I am, and all of my deficiencies and all of the things that I don't do right and all of the things that I do right and the things that I'm struggling through and having to try to press past those things to go after him, to feel like I'm enough for my life, that I'm adequate enough to be a success, that God can be pleased with what I do, to feel like that I can please him with what he's given to me in my hands to do and not feel like I'm going to fail. So sometimes the snooze button, we hit it because we're still trying to make up our mind. Can I do this? Can I accomplish this? I'm not ready to really tackle it because I don't know if I can do it. I'm not sure if I can complete it. I know I can start it, but I don't know if I can complete it. And I don't want to be in the light and fail, knowing that's the safest place. We know, we done sung it. Oh, the safest place in the world is in where the will of God. But the will of God is when I'm in the light. It's when I'm pursuing him, is when everybody can see me and everybody can see what I don't do right. And everybody can, you know, he covers some things, but some things he doesn't. He lets the weakness of who I am be a springboard for his glory, be the canvas for how he shows how great he is. So he exposes sometimes my weaknesses. He exposes, you know, that I don't have it together, so he can get the glory when he brings it together. Hallelujah. I thank him for it. Hallelujah. So this is this light that sometimes we're running from. We hit the snooze button. We don't want to turn the light on. I don't want to turn the light on. That's why some of us have to turn the light off. I'm not up yet. We hate the morning. We hate the light. We hate to be awake. I just don't want to deal with stuff. I just don't want. And it's almost like you're shrinking away from life. It's, you know, a depression is trying to rest on you, and you just want to give up. You want to let go. You want to, you know, just, if I could just stop living, if I could just stop having to be asked of stuff and pulled from me and having to be expected to do things, if I could just give up and things would be okay, and maybe I could still see God. Some of us would. We would just give up. We would just say, God, you can end it today. If I know my family was going to be okay, and I knew that people was going to be all right, and I knew that people maybe would actually be better if I was gone, God, take me. And this is this, where we're shrinking away from life. We're shrinking away from what God wants to do with us. We're shrinking away from him. This is the real reasons why some of us say, I know I need to do this, but I don't do it. I know I need to seek him more. But when I seek him, certain things begin to happen in my life. And there's a certain warfare that comes. And when I really pursue him, when I really go after him, you know, and then, you know, these people, they don't like it. And the family start acting up and things don't, you know, just don't work together. There's so many other things that try to divert me and get my attention so I don't really go and be captured by him. And for some of us, we get tired of that fight. You get tired of the fight of the pursuit. But I want to tell you today that it's worth it. Oh, it's worth it. You can't hide no more because it's worth it. You cannot hide anymore that God is calling you to a different place. You cannot shrink back anymore. You got to break the snooze, but get out of the bed. Get out of this place of rest where you're not responsible for what you used to be responsible for, which you still are responsible for when it comes to God. Get out of this place of rest where you feel like, God, if I just ignore it long enough, then it's going to go away. The calling is not going anywhere. How he wants to use you is not going anywhere. It's not, you can't wait it off. You can't push it off. You can't wait until God changes mind and try to put it on somebody else. You cannot do it. It's not going anywhere. It's right here. And it's going to stay right here until you're ready to get up and face it. He's going to stay right there. Even as he came, as we talked about last week, he came and stood and called Samuel. He stood by him and called him. This was some of, we're hitting that snooze button right when he said, look, no, get out of your sleep. Wake up. See what's going on. Yes, some of this is your fault because you won't pray the way you need to pray because you let this stuff in. Now you're having a hard time getting it out. You let this stuff in and you knew better. You let this stuff in and you knew that you didn't need to let it in. You let this stuff in because it logically made sense. Psychologically, you was trying to try some other thing and you let this stuff in and you're just trying to figure some stuff out. And he understands all that. But now he's saying, okay, now come, let's go ahead and deal with this. Pursue me through this. Go after me still. Don't come and say, well, God, you see everything that I'm facing. You see everything that's going on in my life. Come after me even harder. Come after me even harder. This is where we have to get out of that place of indifference and say, you know what? No. I got to, you know, if I got to cut this off, I got to shake myself. I got to shake myself. You know how sometimes you got to shake the sleep off yourself. You got to, oh my God, I didn't used to be this way. You know it. You know you didn't used to be this way. You know that was more, you was more alive on the inside. Woo, hallelujah. You was more alive on the inside when it came to how you went after God and you missed it. Yes, that's what this is for. That's what this is for. We're coming. We need to wake up. We have more passion. We have more vigor. We have more energy because of who he was. We have more joy in him because of our praise. We have more strength because of our joy in him. Where's our strength at now? This is where the enemy just want to wear. He wearying us. Wearying us with time. Wearying us with things that hasn't happened. Wearying us with our failures. Wearying us with our past. Wearying us with the day-to-day life, the mundane, where things just not getting, it's not getting interrupted by his presence. He's wearying us. You got to shake off the weary. You can't sleep at all. Go ahead and tell yourself today, you cannot sleep off the tide you're dealing with. You can't sleep this tiredness off. You can't sleep this tired. It's not going to go anywhere because it's not physical. You think if I get more sleep, maybe I'm just not getting enough sleep. Maybe I'm not drinking enough water. Maybe I need to stop drinking soda. Maybe I need to, you done tried all of this. I need to change my diet, eat fish, and I need to do this. I need to do that. No, it is his presence. It's him that I'm missing. It's him. It is that which gives me the energy to be able to face this life that he gave me. He gave me the life. Now I need him to give me the strength to live it. It's him that I'm missing. It ain't enough water. Go ahead and drink a gallon. You're just going to be on the toilet all day. It's not water. It's not another now. It's not some multivitamins. Come on, I done tried it all and currently trying it. I'm still missing that place. Still missing being able to just enter in to where he is. Him. Nothing compares to him. Nothing. Nothing compares to him. Nothing compares. There's things that even in our body, we need his presence. It's a nourishment to our soul, to our spirit, to our emotions, to our mindset. We need him. This is not something we just going to arbitrarily, but we've been seduced. We've been just kind of lulled to sleep to where we just, I got it through that day. Let me see if I can get through the next day. While we're struggling on the inside, struggling not to give up, struggling not to snap, struggling not to lose it, struggling to stay committed. We're struggling to keep on doing my job the way I'm doing it, struggling with looking at myself and being happy with me. I'm struggling. So I want to stay away from the light. Let me stay asleep. Because if I stay asleep, then I don't have to deal with it. Come on, I'm about to run out of time. And I know I'm not going to get down to all the scriptures I was going to go. Come on, let's go to verse 6. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So this being sober means to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, dispassionate, and circumspect. You know, this is where we have to, you know, he's saying, look, don't go to sleep like everybody else. The world is asleep. We supposed to be awake because we're walking in the light of where we really know what's happening. Some things we shouldn't be so, oh my God, we know the world was going to be like this. The scriptures tell us this. We understand the world is going to be in chaos. Where we should be is saying, God, we're going to be comforted in the fact that we know we find safety in you. Through all of what has happened and all of what is going on, oh, we know we have so many testimonies on the phone of how we've been kept, how he's keeping his remnant, how he's still blessing his people. Even through sickness, some of us, through the things that have happened, through our extended family, he's touched some of them. You know, all of it, and God has raised us up during times of turmoil, exactly how he said he would. Exactly. So will we turn into Laodicean church, for those that may not know, because we were rich and now, you know, we better, we doing this. They were wealthy church, but they was naked and blind and wretched and all these other stuff. In the spirit, in the natural, oh, they look wonderful. But in the spirit, they have been stripped. Why give up what you've been fighting for the whole time to get to a place to where you say, okay, God, I can go and do. Because we thought it was going to be a place of comfort. We thought that, oh, if this changes and this changes, my life would be easier. Oh, I thought it too. I thought it too. We always think it's the next problem that gets solved, that if that problem gets solved, then my life becomes easier. No. My next accomplishment, none of these things, they don't mean it. It is him. It is me finding him through it all. Finding him through the accomplishment, him getting the glory out of the accomplishment. It is him, you know, going through the process. It is me finding him, seeking him, pursuing. God, what are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to show me? God, what? How do you want me to be? God, change this on the inside of me. God, how do I please you in this place in my life right now? Let me not be diverted by the problem. Let me wake up. Let me not go to sleep as everybody else. To be sober, to be calm and collected in spirit. I mean, I'm calm. I'm able to be calm when I should be. I'm able to collect my spirit because so many things come now to do what? It comes to scatter us. We didn't have so many things pulling on us 50 years ago. I mean, most of us ain't that old. I'm not saying that's old. I'm just saying that old. Not that age, I should say. Amen. So, you know, if you are, you know, you're 50, 20 years ago, right? You know, that there are things that just, life wasn't this fast. Things wasn't pulling on us this much. So now it is, becomes difficult to stay sober, right? Come on, give me verse 7. For they that sleep in the night, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So what is he saying? Look, in the night is how is when these things are happening, is when you are resting, when you're supposed to be resting. But he's saying, look, because you're a child of the light, you can't rest like that. You can't rest like you're in ignorance or like you don't know what's going on or like you don't understand the enemy is after you and trying to destroy your life. You can't rest like that. And you can't be drunk with your emotions, drunk with, you know, anger, and drunk with different things, drunk with lust, or drunk with, you can't be intoxicated by stuff that keeps you scattered all the time, whether it be worry or fear and all, you can't be intoxicated by this stuff. You got to be sober to be able to see, to watch. Anybody who been drunk, real drunk like that, or real high like that, you know your eyesight ain't that good. Stuff start wobbling. And we understand our perception gets messed up when we do not, when we're not sober. We're not able to see things the way we need to see them because we're too drunk with something else. Instead of being filled with the spirit, we're filled with other things. Let's just be honest. We're filled with boredom. We're filled with anger. We're filled with other things because it's not what's on my mind. I'm not trying to always please him. I'm really trying to please me all the time. What am I filled with? I'm filled with me. I'm filled with, you know, what's important to me? Pleasing me. Amen? No, give me verse 8. So, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So look at this. He said, look, you need to get, see, this way you got to get dressed. So it's not enough just to break the snooze button. Because some of us, you get up and you still just sit on the side of the bed. I mean, for some of you, know, you, it take you a long time to get out of bed. It just take you a long time. It take a long time to come up out of sleep. But for all of us, for some of it's going to take us a long time, you know, to just, and we don't like when somebody try to rush us. But guess what? I want to tell you this morning, God wants to rush you. He wants to get up. You know, you don't like when somebody starts to shake you. Now get up, hurry up. Come on. We got to go. Oh, we don't like to be rushed. God wants to rush you to wake up because you about to miss something you need to catch. You about to let something go by that you need to not let go by. You about to let something else come in that you do not need to let come in. You got to wake up. I received that. You got to wake up. You got to wake up and begin to get dressed for your day. Wake up and see what's going on. Wake up and turn the light on. Wake up. Break the snooze button and say, okay, when the first alarm comes, meaning the first time that God says something to me, I can wake up and say, okay, what you say, God? Where's that at? What are you sounding the alarm about? What are you trying to get me to see? I can wake up. I'm not going to try to push it off. Yes, you are discerning what you're discerning. Stop trying to explain away what you're discerning. Stop trying to say, oh, it's just me, and maybe it's just, you know, I used to do that all the time. And I had to learn it. Sometimes God said, no, I'm actually trying to show you something about this situation or about someone else. Yeah, I appreciate you being honest about yourself. But even past that, you still got to go ahead and accept the truth of what I'm showing you. Accept it. Stop trying to not look at it and think that, oh, well, it's just going to change and it's just going, but you're not confronting it. It's not going to change if you don't confront it. Not if God is showing it to you. It needs to be confronted in some sort of way. So this is what the part about pursuing God that we don't always like. We don't like when God says, okay, come after me, you're going to have to deal with these things. Because these are the things that are in the way. These are the things that are really, you know, that are stopping my presence from coming in. These are the things that are coming against, you know, me being able, us being in agreement, because we're not in agreement about your life. I'm saying one thing, you're saying another. So, and then once we get up, you got to get dressed. Put on the breastplate of faith, love, of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Get dressed. Get dressed. Get dressed. You got to, this was a breastplate that kind of covered the neck and it covered, and this is almost like a different explanation of the armor, because now we don't see the shield of faith. We see faith also covering the inward parts, the breast, the heart, the lungs. Why am I putting on a breastplate? Because I need to be prepared to defend myself against the blows that the enemy wants to throw at me. And I don't defend myself through sheer will. That's why some of us are weary. I'm just going to will myself through it. No. It is through faith and love, loving God, loving his people. I'm just going to bear down and get through it. No, that's how you get worn out and get bitter. That's how you get exposed, because faith is not covering it. Love is not covering it. Love is not protecting you. And for a helmet, and this is how the mind start getting on the line. The mind start getting on the line because now it's not the hope of my salvation. Because you know what? Let's be honest. For some of us, yeah, you do want to give up. But at least you can say, okay, let me translate that into the hope that God is going to save me, that God is saving me, that God, and you know, and one day I'm going to see him. One day I won't have to deal with everything that I'm dealing with. It will be different. Instead of being seduced into this worldly sorrow that works death, then I can let a godly sorrow that works this repentance, where I turn to God, God, I'm saved. And I do have a future. I have a future with you. I've given my heart to you. I've given my life to you. And this is the hope that I have. And because of that hope that I have to see you, to be with you, that I won't always have to deal with what I'm dealing with, that life won't always be this difficult, fighting through this is worth it. Getting through this is worth it. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to end right there. Amen. We're going to end right there. Amen. So I had a few more scriptures, but we'll end right there. Break the snooze button. Wake up. Come on. You got to tell somebody, wake up. I got to get serious about this. I got to wake up. You about to be late for an appointment. The appointed time that God has for you. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. You miss disappointment. You could be missing what you've been waiting on. Wake up. Get dressed. You know, we know these are the three great things that we talked about: faith, hope, and love. And Paul said, well, the greatest out of these is what? Charity or love. Get dressed. Get geared up for your day. I got faith in him. And because of my faith, I got energy. I got, because I have something I'm pushing towards. Because I love him. Because I love him, I love his people. And I love the life that he's given me. I love what he's done for me. I love that he has saved me. And because he has saved me, I have a hope that keeps me from getting ashamed. So I'm not trying to hide myself and get in the dark. Because my hope is my is his salvation in my life. Amen? Amen, amen. I hope you got something from the word today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.